Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. On the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158, and everybody tuned in on a smart speaker, thank you. We appreciate you for hanging out with us. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is in New York City. And this is halftime of the show. We get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Shout outs to all my folks getting to the money, leaving the money, going to the money, going to do things that have nothing to do with their money. Thank you for hanging out. Now, we've had a busy show. Thank you so much to Michael Grady. Michael Grady is the television voice for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We know the Timberwolves are going to the Western Conference Finals. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Eddie Gill. Eddie Gill, analyst for the Indiana Pacers, and also played. He played basketball all over the world. Looking forward to that convo with Eddie Gill in about 20 minutes. We talked about Tua Tagovailoa showing up to work because he wants a new contract. Hey, we talked about Justin Jefferson not showing up to work because he wants a new contract and a better player than Tua. I think he got more leverage. And then, well, we talked about the Knicks and the Pacers. And, yeah, Knicks got an interesting offseason ahead of them. Oklahoma City has an interesting offseason ahead of them. How do these teams improve? They got close, but almost doesn't count. Doesn't really matter at that point in time. And then Hickey, how about this? You know, we talked about Tua earlier on in the show. And think about all the top salaries of the quarterbacks in the league right now. Jacksonville Jaguars are saying the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. Like they want to get a deal done with Trevor Lawrence. Is he getting 50? Like, are they going to pay him? Or is Tua going to wait to see what Trevor Lawrence gets? This is tenuous. Like, they're the last two quarterbacks. Obviously, you have Dak. I don't think they're going to sign him to a deal this offseason. I'd be a little surprised if they did. Where would you place him? He got to make 50, right? I think he has more potential long-term than Tua.
I agree. And that's, I think the Jaguars think that as well, which is why, I mean, by at least all indications and reports, they're willing and almost kind of eager to kind of get something done. So they seem much more motivated than, let's say, a team like the Dolphins do to get Tua signed. And I'm with you. I feel a lot better about Trevor Lawrence getting $50 million and having that investment, you know, give you a good ROI than I would Tua. That's for sure.
Yeah, you think about Trevor Lawrence, and I just think about, and I know he's dealt with his own injuries. If you asking me, who do you think is going to last for the next 10 years? And let's be real, they're only going to give these guys a 4 or 5 year contract extension. But if you're asking me who's going to stand the test of time, I would certainly take Trevor Lawrence before I take Tua Tagovailoa. I feel like with Tua, this is in an ideal space, and that's not how the NFL works. It's not how it works for QB. I'd be looking at him like, man, I gotta roll with this dude every 2 years because I may have to cut bait sooner than later. I believe Tua Tagovailoa got a raw deal when he was coming into the NFL about his durability. Because for the most part, outside of not this past season, but the year before that, where he got knocked around, you have to think about his head, more of the concerns were with his hip and his legs and his arm, not his head. He's small, man. Not everybody's going to run around and be Drew Brees for their entire career. And let's be honest. The Chargers at the time of San Diego looked at Drew Brees and they said, no, this guy's not going to last. His shoulder's not going to last. His body's not going to last. Miami took a look at him and said, we don't think he's going to last. You can ask Nick Saban, you know, whose decision it was not to bring him in. He goes to New Orleans and he balls forever. Not too many short man QBs running around. And I know the game is different. But it's not like Tua Tagovailoa is running around. He's not a mobile quarterback. He ain't running anywhere. Trevor Lawrence is a safer bet. I'd give him that $50 million tomorrow. And if I'm Tua, you got to settle for less, man. It sucks for him. Well, I guess, Hickey, it sucks for none of them, right?
I was going to say, I would love to have right now Tua's problems.
Oh, man, they won't pay me an additional 2 or 3. They need to show me my respect. And how come Trevor Lawrence making more than me? Same draft, number one, what? Get over it, man. People always going to find something to complain about. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence will get a deal. And then I think Tua will get his. Trevor Lawrence gets a deal first before Tua, you think?
I think so. Yeah, I would say Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it sounds like it's closer, like maybe before July 4th.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, training camps start at the end of July, so we got to see. Justin Jefferson, I think he'll be on an extended vacation until July. Make sure he can squeeze every dollar out of the Vikings, as he should. Tua Tagovailoa, I think he may have to wait until like right before training camp or maybe the midst of it. And Trevor Lawrence, he'll get his deal done sooner than later. No worries or concerns there. NFL offseason, we're going to blink. It's going to come to a close. Hickey, I can't believe it's Memorial Day weekend coming up, right? Isn't that what it is?
It is crazy. Like, I do complain, at least myself, a lot about how long winter is, and it feels like we're never going to get to summer. With that said, I'm shocked we're here. It feels like it just flew by.
The year?
So, yeah, like the fact that, like, summer's here is just like, wow. Like, I mean, the spring went fast. Even, like, the doldrums of late winter, February, March, like, does feel like I'm shocked. It feels early, honestly.
Yeah, I can't keep up. I don't know. I just wake up and things happen, Hickey. I try my best. I just wake up. I just wake up and things happen. You know, we started this show together, this shift, in January 2, 3, whatever the hell the day is after New Year's when people go back to work. And so it's already, this is going to be 5 months soon, right? Today's the 20th. Yep. And moving on to.
Going on closer to 6 months, really, right?
I know.
Look, wow.
I don't know what I did for New Year's, Hickey. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I have no idea.
Wow. Maybe you had that much fun, huh?
I could have been on my couch. I have no idea. I have no idea. I have none. I don't remember. That shows you what I'm doing. I don't remember. Do you remember what you did on New Year's?
I do, yeah.
Oh, good. You had a good time then. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe not so much of a good time you actually remember.
Well, or, well, that, you know what? Touche. Touche.
Yeah, I can't recall. I just get up and go. Anyway, what is this? Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. ESPN is, they got the WNBA game on the main ESPN? Wow. Wow. Caitlin Clark effect. This is cool. Now you see the women in more commercials. Asia Wilson. The faces are recognized. Good for the WNBA. And good for Caitlin Clark, who sprained her ankle and looks like she's going to attempt to play here in the second half. So, yeah, good for all of them. Anyway, now that we got the positivity out the way, yeah, good for all of them. Bad for the New York Knicks. Bad for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They go down, they lose. Timberwolves and Mavericks, they move forward. Pacers move forward. And the Boston Celtics, man, they haven't played a basketball game since last week. They move forward. We had Michael Grady joining us in the last hour, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, Hickey, there's one thing that we did not discuss because we're not there yet. Alex Rodriguez is still fighting to lay his claim to this team with his business partner. And Glenn Taylor, the longtime owner of the Timberwolves, is trying to keep them at bay. What a hell of a story it would be if the Timberwolves advance to the championship, win the championship, and the owners are out there having a beef. Sign me up for it today.
I'd love to know what the players would want. I mean, you see Anthony Edwards? I mean, it looked like him and A-Rod have their own little personal handshake.
That's hilarious. Because I remember when Alex Rodriguez purchased a small stake in the team. Remember Anthony Edwards was just like, I don't know who he is. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I actually forgot. Good call.
Now, was he joking or was he being a jerk? Anthony Edwards, as a kid here in Georgia, played everything. He played football. He played baseball. He played sports. Now, Alex Rodriguez, what is Anthony Edwards? What is he, 22? He's going to be 23. You know, as a 10-year-old, no, damn. Wait, Hickey, wait a minute. He's 22 years old right now. So 10 years ago, when was 10 years ago? 2014?
That's right. A-Rod was still around.
He was 12 years, Anthony Edwards was 12 years old. In what year? 2014. He was 10 years old. Wait. Am I doing stupid math on the radio?
No.
Am I messing that up?
No, he's 22 now.
He was 12 years old. He was 12 years old in 2014. Wow. He was 12 years old.
You just age yourself right there?
A lot. Oh, my God. A lot. Damn. Well, Alex Rodriguez, they won the championship in 2009. Wasn't he fighting with the Yankees by then? Wasn't he, like, suing the hell out of them and all of that stuff, being a quitter?
It was either 2013, I got to look it up, or 2014, when he was suspended for the full year.
Yeah.
So he was, I mean, I think it was 2013. So maybe 2014 made his big return. And then, played another year and a half after that, something like that? Like,
yeah,
he was around.
I'm just trying to think if Anthony Edwards, he had to have been joking about not knowing who he is. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. You would think that there'd be more of a connection with the younger Alex Rodriguez than the older Glenn Taylor, unless he looks up to him and is like, hey, Pops, you know, I don't know. At the end of the day, to be honest, do the players really care? Are they sure? I mean, if Glenn Taylor sticks around, is he spending money? Like, that's all these dudes want to know. Am I going to get a contract? And then we've heard from Glenn Taylor's position that if Alex Rodriguez and his teammate, his partner, if they purchase the team, that they're going to slice salary. That doesn't bode well for any of the Timberwolves. They're going to lose money in that case. I don't know, man. I'm here for the fight. I like the theatrics of it. Thinking that you have an ownership struggle is fun to me. This is like something in a movie. Young team streaking towards a potential championship. Meanwhile, the ownership is up for grabs. Like, this is something that some guy in Hollywood sits around and writes a script on. We'll see what the Wolves have to do. They're going to have to go through these Dallas Mavericks first. We saw Dallas knock off OKC, finish up that series 4-2. They beat him in a close game on Saturday night, 117-116. Shea Gilgeous had 36 points. We saw P.J. Washington knock down a free throw after being fouled to finish things off. And Dallas is deeper than what they appear, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. They've added some real depth behind Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and some athletic players, man. We got the Derek Lively's of the world. They got some moves. Derek Jones is putting on some moves. Luka Doncic, he spoke to ESPN afterwards. He says, oh, yeah, we are locked in right now, ready for the West Finals.
So today we're going to celebrate this, and then tomorrow we're going to rest. But then we got to watch the game 7 of that and just be ready for next games.
And Jason Kidd, of course, he has to show love to his guy Luka. I always say Luka is just a big version of Jason. Listen to Jason praise his point guard.
It's incredible that he's been there 2 out of 3 years. Again, his talent's like no other. He's one of the best players in the world. But, you know, sometimes we lose sight that it's not just built or one guy can get you there. You need a team. And, you know, right now he's got a team that he believes in. What he's going through physically, he's given everything. I don't think we took him out in the second half, and nor did he complain. But he is he's playing the game the right way, and he's playing at a high level.
And Kyrie Irving, he had 22 points in a closeout game. And at the end of it, Kyrie and Luka embraced like midcourt, and Kyrie was crying. It's what he had to say about his show of emotion.
You know, just that whole walk-off, you know, hugging my family and then going and hugging some more of my family in the locker room, everybody cheering for each other, and I had to make an impromptu speech, and I was doing my best not to let some tears come down from my eyes, because it feels like it's been a long time coming, just being back in this position, getting back to the, you know, finals or the conference finals.
Yeah, long way off from Brooklyn. I mean, if we go back a little bit more than a year, it looked like Kyrie Irving was going to be cooked. Who wants Kyrie? Well, Mark Cuban at the time, was crazy to think he's no longer the full-time owner, even though he runs the team, is no longer the full control owner of the squad. I guess Kyrie Irving needed another crazy guy to bring him in. Congratulations to him. The T-Wolves and Mavericks, they get into action on Wednesday. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. This is very important for you to know. Pay close attention. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have a conversation with someone who played ball all over the world, including for the Pacers. He's currently a television analyst. His name is Eddie Gill. We're going to ask him all things Pacers. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Indiana Pacers, they are on to the next one. The next one is a big one. The Eastern Conference Finals get started tomorrow against the Boston Celtics. To talk about these Pacers, what they've done, what they might do moving forward, joining us right now is someone who played for the Pacers, someone who played all over the world and is currently a television analyst for the squad. His name is Eddie Gill. Eddie, appreciate the time, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, JR.
Yeah, when you look at this Indiana Pacers team and how young they are, and especially given their youth, was there an expectation from the fan base that they would be in this spot so quickly?
I don't know if there was an expectation, but there was definitely a hope, right? So it's been quite some time since the Pacers have reached this level of success, particularly in the playoffs. And you think about the last couple seasons, it's really has been less than ideal, to say the least. But, man, I give them a ton of credit for the maturation of the team, the moves that have been made from a management standpoint, especially with the acquisition of Pascal Siakam. I think he was the one that that tilted it in a playoff direction where the expectations significantly changed. Although I think even without him coming in, they at the beginning of the season they were hopeful and expecting to at least get into the playoffs. But when he joined the team, it definitely went to another level. And although there is a fair amount of inexperience in terms of the young players, I think they matured in a rapid way. Rick Carlisle and the staff have done a really good job of expediting some of that maturation. And as you know, experience is our greatest teacher. And the first round I thought was good good for them in terms of the way they were able to play and get through some different things. And getting through the second round is even the next level.
Eddie Gill is joining us, Pacers television analyst here on the Infinity Sports Network. When you talk about the seven games that it took them to dispatch the Knicks, and the Knicks play hard as all hell, what is your expectation as they get ready to take on a Celtics team that is apparently going to miss a giant in Kristaps Porzingis to start the series?
Yeah, I think when you get to these rounds, the intangibles of the game become even more important. You referenced how hard the New York Knicks play, and obviously they were significantly undermanned, but really their competitive spirit carried them along the way. And you know, Jalen Brunson was playing out of his mind really the last two seasons, and specifically in these playoffs. So he was kind of the X factor in terms of a guy you just had to account for and throw multiple bodies at. But they play super hard. They're a great rebounding team. They compete just about as hard, if not as harder, than anyone else in the league. So that right there was something that the Pacers were not only had to match that, but they had to try to exceed it in certain instances throughout that second round, and they were able to get that done and move on. So that should bode well. You referenced the experience piece in your first question, so I think that'll be really vital to them having any sort of chance to get out of the Eastern Conference Finals and represent the East.
Eddie Gill joining us. When you take a look at the Celtics, what's going to be the biggest issue for this Pacers team? What are they going to have to overcome? You talk about experience. The Celtics haven't gotten over the hump to hoist the Larry O'Brien, but they've been through it. What's the Pacers' biggest challenge here?
The Pacers' biggest challenge as far as dealing with the Celtics will be just the amount of weapons that they have. Arguably the best starting five in the league. Obviously, they're minus Porzingis right now, which is a huge gap to fill for their team because of all the things that he's able to do on both ends. But you're still dealing with Tatum and Brown, and Derek White is one of the best, I don't know, third or fourth option. I don't even know what option he is on that team, but he might be the best of that option in the entire league. And in my opinion, Drew Holiday might be the most underrated player in the game. So they have a lot to deal with there. But I think from a Pacers standpoint, they're able to lean on their depth. They rely heavily on their bench. Oftentimes you see in the playoffs the rotations are shortened and minutes are cut. But not on this team. They rely heavily on the depth. And if you look at Game 7, there were heavy contributions throughout the entire lineup, both starting and that bench unit.
Eddie, over the past year, we all know about the growth and some of the eye-popping numbers that Tyrese Haliburton has been able to put up. We know about the hamstring injury earlier this season. He's had his ups and his downs. Yesterday, certainly a high, helping to eliminate the New York Knicks. How have you seen his growth, and how have you seen him perform over the last several months? Everybody's kind of banged up. Do you think he's still kind of behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes down to the hammy, or is everything good way back in the rear mirror?
Yeah, I would say just evaluating and watching him over the last couple of months, he's moving really well. And I don't know that, and obviously he would know better than I, but just watching him, he looks to be moving well. He looks to be at the peak of his game. You know, as you look at the Knicks series, sometimes he was a little less aggressive than everyone would like, including himself. But when he puts it in that gear in terms of his aggression, to score, or not even necessarily to score, to just be a serious threat out there to score, the Pacers are a different team.
Do you believe that the Pacers, the defense has been kind of lackluster? Everybody looks at them as getting up and down the court. You look at a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves, everybody harps on their defense leading the way. What can you say about the Pacers and what they do on the defensive side of the ball?
I would say struggled in a major way early on in the season. In the latter part of the season, they made significant strides there in terms of some of their just overall competitive spirit. Defensive execution, communication, again, some of those intangibles I referenced earlier on, I think they've been better throughout the latter part of the season, and they've been pretty good here in these playoffs. So that's going to give them an opportunity to win games, and they've been top two or three in offense throughout the entire season, so that's been a consistent. So if they can just be solid defensively, they're going to give themselves a chance each and every night.
We know Rick Carlisle, he went through a stint here almost 20 years ago with these Pacers. He came back again kind of right after COVID. What's different with Coach Carlisle from when he was around 20 years ago versus what you see with him? We know the game has changed, and how has his personality changed?
It's very interesting and coincidental that you're asking that question. I had this exact conversation with someone today at breakfast. I give him a ton of credit based on his ability to evolve as an individual, as a coach, and really just gravitating towards the era and the style of play that you have here today versus what you had 20 years ago. I was fortunate enough to play for him, sharp as anyone you know in the game in terms of X's and O's, and very stringent in terms of play calling. Somewhat of a script of a game. Obviously, he'd make some adjustments during the game, but he kind of had it mapped out going into that game. Whereas now, it's a free-flowing game, very random-style play. It's clearly a younger group. Certain things to them are more important than things that we even have access to when I was playing 20 years ago, when I played for him. So I give him a ton of credit in terms of the evolution, both as an individual, how he relates to his players, and overall assessment and management of the game.
And Pacers TV analyst Eddie Gill is here with us. As we wrap things up, Eddie, when you look at this Pacers squad, I mean, Benedict Mathurin isn't even healthy to play. People aren't even talking about what he would have brought to the squad. What are your thoughts on how they're constructed to compete into the future? We finally got to the point where there's so much parity in the NBA. We haven't had a repeat. Teams are here, they're there. There's a lot of competition. How are the Pacers built for the long haul?
I think they're built to be good for quite some time now. I mean, clearly it's a young man's game, and they have a fair amount of youth on this team. But with that said, you think about the rookie right now that they in significant minutes, and he has been probably since the half mark of the season. And Ben Shepherd, he's a four-year player out of Belmont University. He's making significant contributions, even though you don't necessarily see his name in box scores and highlights and all those types of things. But he affects winning. Andrew Nembhard is in his second year, also another four-year guy in the starting lineup, relieving some of the pressure for Tyrese Haliburton in terms of facilitation, oftentimes guarding the best perimeter guy. You got Aaron Nesmith, and he's in his third or fourth year, I believe it is. Coincidentally, he was drafted by the Celtics, didn't get a whole lot of opportunity considering the guys he was playing behind. But I think they're fit to be good for quite some time. And obviously, we referenced what Tyrese Haliburton has meant to the team as a young budding star in this league, two-time All-Star, and with the acquisition of Pascal Siakam, and not to mention the longest tenured player, Miles Turner. Is in the peak and prime of his career, but also young in his own right. So I think they're positioned well. You know, we'll see what they decide to do in the offseason with regards to kind of tweaking the roster in some capacity, if they decide to do that, who knows. But as of right now, with added experience with this young group, I only see them look to get better over time.
Eddie, man, I appreciate the time. Where can people follow you and all your work with the Pacers, man?
Yeah, EddieGill_4 on Twitter, or X as they call it, and then I think it's 4 Eddie Gill. My son is the fourth, so I always forget what his handle is, but 4 Eddie Gill on Instagram.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Enjoy the ride, and keep up with them Pacers. I know they go up and down that court fast, man, okay?
Yes, sir. It's fun to watch.
All right, no doubt about it. That Eddie Gill, former Pacer, and now current television analyst for the squad as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is the number. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. We are going to take a break. When we come through on the other side, I'm going to give you an update. Outside of the one you're going to get, I'm going to tell you about Caitlin Clark. It looks like she's back out on the basketball court. And then I got another update on the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to talk about people showing up to work? Why are so many of the Chiefs getting in trouble? We'll talk about it on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Uh-oh. It's going to be an interesting correlation here. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to former Indiana Pacer, current Pacer analyst Eddie Gill for joining us in the last break. Hey, the Pacers, that's a quick turnaround. Game 7 against the Knicks on Sunday. Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Tuesday. That's fast, yeah. The Pacers are going to be in Boston tomorrow for Game 1. I'm going to give you a prediction at the top of the hour. I'll wait. But I also just told you there's going to be an interesting correlation with the man you just heard, Richard Sherman, and what I'm about to fill you in on. Richard Sherman, one of the best defensive backs that the NFL has seen over the last 20 years, has transitioned over into the media space and the media world. Well, we know there's been some incidents over the past couple of seasons with Richard. And when it comes down to alcohol and driving and domestic issues, it hasn't been all that swimming outside of what you see on television. Now, I don't know what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if they partied too hard, too much, following their championship earlier this year, but there's a long list of quote-unquote things that are happening with the Chiefs. And I don't think it all has to do with, just increased celebrity from some of their players. Okay, they win a championship. We all know about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Okay, let's get that out the way. Next, you get Rashee Rice, who's just speeding through the Metroplex in Dallas in a Lamborghini on a Sunday afternoon like it's the Daytona 500, which we'll talk about in a second. Not the Daytona 500, but we'll get to that in a second, too. You got Rashee Rice driving like a nut. Then we find out from the NFL Players Association survey that the Kansas City Chiefs are cheap as hell. Didn't upgrade the locker rooms. The players think that the facilities suck. Then we get to Harrison Butker. Last week, over the weekend, he gives that commencement speech where he kind of wanted to send women back about 50 to 60 years. This is his prerogative. I don't think you need to impart that on everybody. And then on Friday night, as I left the studio, two more of the Chiefs get in trouble already? Take a listen to this courtesy of KMBC9, Kansas City.
News at 6, this time from Johnson County, Kansas, where a couple of Chiefs players have been arrested for marijuana possession. Offensive lineman Wanya Morris and Jason Godrick were booked and bonded out today from jail on first offense possession charges. They're due back in court next Thursday.
I get it. It's marijuana, I know. Legal, illegal, depending on where you live, still federally illegal. But you should know these things. Oh, yeah, and I didn't even count in Rasheed Rice allegedly punching the photographer. I forgot that one. I don't know if the Chiefs think they're the Raiders all of a sudden, but Hickey, we both saw this and just said, how the hell are we here?
Wasn't it just last week you're like, there's no way, like, anything else with the Chiefs, like, there's no way anyone else can get in trouble. Like, the quota's been hit. Everyone's got to be in their best behavior. And we made it in, what, 48 hours? 72 hours before they're back in the news?
Yeah.
Hell of a run.
It's a crazy run. And it's not even, the players got to wait until July, the end of July, before they're in training camp. That's how long we got to wait. Chiefs think that they're the bad boys or something. I don't know. As long as, and you know, Hickey, I hate to bring him up. Patrick Mahomes' dad. Like, isn't he still, I don't want to say he's on trial. Isn't he awaiting, like, sentencing for, you know, driving drunk?
This was his, or was his third offense. Yeah, he's in big trouble. And, yeah, that's, punishment's coming. I don't know when, I have to look it up. But, yeah, that should be dropping soon as well, which, not new, but new in terms of sentencing.
Oh, my God. And then the brother, is the brother in or out of trouble? The one that nobody is Jackson, right?
Jackson Mahomes. Last I've seen, in the last few months, he's been on his best behavior.
Yeah. Well, wasn't he charged as assault, sexual assault, like grabbing somebody?
Yes, he tried to forcefully kiss a waitress. That was probably about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer.
What is going on out there, man?
Great question.
What is going on with the Chiefs, man? I thought the Raiders were bad, but damn, the Chiefs are going crazy. Speaking of bad, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. This was pretty wild. I know everybody is not a NASCAR fan. I saw this over the weekend and said, whoa, NASCAR sure knows how to promote a fight. Ricky Stenhouse was mad at Kyle Busch in North Carolina over the weekend. Ricky Stenhouse had to exit this the race after two laps, because he felt that Kyle Busch bumped him, wrecking his car, and just ruining him in the competition. And so he waited for him at the track, had to wait for him at the track, and then decided to just go ahead and punch him in the face. Yes, Ricky Stenhouse decided to punch Kyle Busch in the face. They were having a gentlemanly conversation, and he just let a fist fly. And then some of their garage folks and crew members started letting fists fly as well. And NASCAR actually, I guess you can call this, promoted the fight. They put a big old picture of the punch up on social media. I'm like, what league does this? Only NASCAR could go out here and do such a thing. A matter of fact, I want you to listen to this, courtesy of Fox Sports.
I was on a line. I think all the rules go out the window of clean. So I knew that was coming. I was trying to maintain that clean air. If I lost the clean air, we wouldn't have won the race. So we maintained it all day. And bam, feels good. Feels great.
Congratulations. Joey Logano fired up. And we've got a fight going on right now between Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Those two crashed back at lap number two.
Get off of here. Get out of here.
And now the pit crews are involved.
You know what? I'm wrong. Because the NHL promotes fights, too. The NHL promotes fights. NASCAR promotes fights. We can't have NFL guys fighting. Well, they wear helmets. They look stupid fighting. Can't have NBA guys fighting and be called thugs too fast. But I guess we can have the NHL and the NASCAR guys fight. You heard Joey Logano being interviewed, and in the background, Ricky Stenhouse and Kyle Busch, well, at least Ricky is trying to get to throwing them hands. It's a fact. Matter of fact, take a listen to this. It did not stop there, because after they got to throwing their hands, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., was on Fox Sports, and he told everybody why he punched Kyle Busch.
Just definitely built up frustration with, you know, how he runs his mouth all the time, you know, about myself. But I know he's frustrated because he doesn't run near as good as he used to, and I understand that. You know, we're a single car team over here. We're working really hard to, you know, go out and get better each and every weekend. And I was excited for the rest of the night, and you know, he ruined it. So yeah, being stuck in here definitely doesn't help the frustration. You know, if there was a tunnel, I'd have probably been home watching the end of that. But here we are.
Yeah, he had to wait. There wasn't a tunnel for him to exit through. He had to wait until the race was done, which is why he was available to punch him in the face. Now, I can appreciate his honesty, but it's kind of odd for NASCAR to explore punishing him. Like, I get it. You're the social media team and you're the league, but wouldn't the messaging align? Like, don't punish the man if you're going to promote the fact that he punched another guy in the face. Like, NASCAR put it up big. Here's a photo of him punching him in the face. But then you might suspend him. You might punish him. You can't have it both ways. I mean, if you're going to be consistent enough to say, hey, let's create some content and then suspend him, like stay on the same wavelength. Pick one. Are you going to embrace the fighting? Is that what you want to be known? I feel like every now and then we get a big old NASCAR brawl. Or are you going to be, you know, oh, we need to keep things on the up and up. No fighting. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Josh is here from Philly. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Josh?
Hey, JR. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I was calling about the NASCAR. I actually called you a while back about NASCAR, and we talked about whether or not it was mainstream. And this isn't really that, but so after that happens and NASCAR promotes that, Do you think it's, like, good for NASCAR as a franchise to promote that and, like, be known as that?
I don't think it's being known as that, but it certainly doesn't help its image. Look, ultimately, NASCAR, they got a whole lot more work to do if they want to promote. I don't think something like this is going to drive them off the deep end one way or the other. So it pops. It certainly doesn't do them any good.
When you mention NHL, I feel like NHL maybe, I guess they promote the fighting, but it happens, you know, right, more often in a hockey game where I've watched a lot of NASCAR over the years, and, you know, there's only probably been a handful of fights I've seen in NASCAR's history.
In NASCAR's history? Well, I don't know how much.
No, not their history. Of the years I've watched. I'd say of all the years I've watched it, maybe like 10, 15 years, you know, I've only seen like a handful of times that it actually got physical.
I feel like we got a fight, and maybe I'm conflating NASCAR with some of the other races, maybe F1. I feel like I see more of them throwing hands than anything else.
The first time this year, this NASCAR
Josh, the point is, there is more of a conversation for everyone to be involved in regarding NASCAR when it's a fight and less about a race. That's the point. And so the problem isn't so much that, oh my God, there's a fight, and how is publicizing the fight going to be damaging to the game or the sport? It's more about how do you spread the sport where fights aren't the thing that most people can relate to. That's the issue.
I also don't know if it's really as much as promoting as, I mean, just, it's content. You know, NASCAR can't stop it if it happens.
Josh. It is promoting it. If I am NASCAR and I have social media accounts and a fight occurs and NASCAR is showcasing the fight, that's promoting it. Okay? If I saw, I don't know, Draymond Green grabbing Rudy Gobert by the throat in a headlock, I would be surprised to see the NBA account sending out a freeze frame of the choke and putting it on social media.
NBA's account will.
But there's a difference between what you own, operate, and control versus what someone else does. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
And there's a massive difference between what you can control versus what you do. And I would say NASCAR has more influence on the messaging that they put out than the media does. You want to know who grants credentials to the media? NASCAR. You want to know who does the television contracts? NASCAR. Come on. NASCAR is in control of their messaging. Hickey, I feel like I need a drink. I got time to get one in the break? Maybe.
Plenty time.
Plenty. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to have a drink and figure out what's promoting or not promoting a fight. Don't move.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Uh-oh. It's going to be an interesting correlation here. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to former Indiana Pacer, current Pacer analyst Eddie Gill for joining us in the last break. Hey, the Pacers, that's a quick turnaround. Game 7 against the Knicks on Sunday. Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Tuesday. That's fast, yeah. The Pacers are going to be in Boston tomorrow for Game 1. I'm going to give you a prediction at the top of the hour. I'll wait. But I also just told you there's going to be an interesting correlation with the man you just heard, Richard Sherman, and what I'm about to fill you in on. Richard Sherman, one of the best defensive backs that the NFL has seen over the last 20 years, has transitioned over into the media space and the media world. We know there's been some incidents over the past couple of seasons with Richard. And when it comes down to alcohol and driving and domestic issues, it hasn't been all that swimming outside of what you see on television. Now, I don't know what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if they partied too hard, too much following their championship earlier this year. But there's a long list of quote-unquote things that are happening with the Chiefs. And I don't think it all has to do with, just increased celebrity from some of their players. Okay, they win a championship. We all know about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Okay, let's get that out the way. Next, you get Rashee Rice, who's just speeding through the Metroplex in Dallas in a Lamborghini on a Sunday afternoon like it's the Daytona 500, which we'll talk about in a second. Not the Daytona 500, but we'll get to that in a second, too. You got Rashee Rice driving like a nut. Then we find out from the NFL Players Association survey that the Kansas City Chiefs are cheap as hell. Didn't upgrade the locker rooms. The players think that the facilities suck. Then we get to Harrison Butker last week, or over the weekend. He gives that commencement speech where he kind of wanted to send women back about 50 to 60 years. This is his prerogative. I don't think you need to impart that on everybody. And then on Friday night, as I left the studio, two more of the Chiefs get in trouble already? Take a listen to this, courtesy of KMBC9, Kansas City.
News at 6, this time from Johnson County, Kansas, where a couple of Chiefs players have been arrested for marijuana possession. Offensive lineman Wanya Morris and Jason Godrick were booked and bonded out today from jail on first offense possession charges. They're due back in court next Thursday.
I get it. It's marijuana, I know. Legal, illegal, depending on where you live, still federally illegal. But you should know these things. Oh, yeah, and I didn't even count in Rashee Rice allegedly punching the photographer. I forgot that one. I don't know if the Chiefs think they're the Raiders all of a sudden, but Hickey, we both saw this and just said, how the hell are we here?
Wasn't it just last week you're like, there's no way, like, anything else with the Chiefs, like, there's no way anyone else can get in trouble. Like, the quota's been hit. Everyone's got to be in their best behavior. And we made it in, what, 48 hours? 72 hours before they're back in the news?
Yeah.
Hell of a run.
It's a crazy run. And it's not even, the players got to wait until July, the end of July, before they're in training camp. That's how long we got to wait. Chiefs think that they're the bad boys or something. I don't know. As long as, and you know, Hickey, I hate to bring him up. Patrick Mahomes' dad. Like, isn't he still, I don't want to say he's on trial. Isn't he awaiting, like, sentencing for, you know, driving drunk?
This was his third offense. Yeah, he's in big trouble. That's, punishment's coming. I don't know when, I have to look it up. But yeah, that should be dropping soon as well, which, not new, but new in terms of sentencing.
Oh, my God. And then the brother, is the brother in or out of trouble? The one that nobody is Jackson, right?
Jackson Mahomes. Last I've seen in the last few months, he's been on his best behavior.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't he charged as assault, sexual assault, like grabbing somebody?
Yes. He tried to forcefully kiss a waitress. That was probably about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer.
What is going on out there, man?
Great question.
What is going on with the Chiefs, man? I thought the Raiders were bad, but damn, the Chiefs are going crazy. Speaking of bad, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. This was pretty wild. I know everybody is not a NASCAR fan. I saw this over the weekend and said, whoa, NASCAR sure knows how to promote a fight. Ricky Stenhouse was mad at Kyle Busch in North Carolina over the weekend. Ricky Stenhouse had to exit this the race after two laps, because he felt that Kyle Busch bumped him, wrecking his car, and just ruining him in the competition. And so he waited for him at the track, had to wait for him at the track, and then decided to just go ahead and punch him in the face. Yes, Ricky Stenhouse decided to punch Kyle Busch in the face. They were having a gentlemanly conversation, and he just let a fist fly. And then some of their garage folks and crew members started letting fists fly as well. And NASCAR, actually, I guess you can call this promoted the fight. They put a big old picture of a punch up on social media. I'm like, what league does this? Only NASCAR could go out here and do such a thing. A matter of fact, I want you to listen to this. Courtesy of Fox Sports.
I was on a line. I think all the rules go out the window of a clean. So I knew that was coming. I was trying to maintain that clean air. If I lost the clean air, we wouldn't have won the race. So we maintained it all day. And bam, feels good. Feels great.
Congratulations. Joey Logano fired up. And we've got a fight going on right now between Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Those two crashed back at lap number two.
Get off of here. Get out of here.
And now the pit crews are involved.
You know what? I'm wrong. Because the NHL promotes fights, too. The NHL promotes fights. NASCAR promotes fights. We can't have NFL guys fighting. Well, they wear helmets. They look stupid fighting. Can't have NBA guys fighting and be called thugs too fast. But I guess we can have the NHL and the NASCAR guys fight. You heard Joey Logano being interviewed, and in the back house, background, Ricky Stenhouse and Kyle Busch, well, at least Ricky is trying to get to throwing them hands. It's a fact. Matter of fact, take a listen to this. It did not stop there, because after they got to throwing the hands, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was on Fox Sports, and he told everybody why he punched Kyle Busch.
Just definitely built up frustration with, you know, how he runs his mouth all the time, you know, about myself. But I know he's frustrated because he doesn't run near as good as he used to. And I understand that. You know, we're a single car team over here. We're working really hard to, you know, go out and get better each and every weekend. And I was excited for the rest of the night, and, you know, he ruined it. So, yeah, being stuck in here definitely doesn't help the frustration. You know, if there was a tunnel, I'd have probably been home watching the end of that. But here we are.
Yeah, he had to wait. There wasn't a tunnel for him to exit through. He had to wait until the race was done, which is why he was available to punch him in the face. Now, I can appreciate his honesty, but it's kind of odd for NASCAR to explore punishing him. Like, I get it. You're the social media team and you're the league, but wouldn't the messaging align? Like, don't punish the man if you're going to promote the fact that he punched another guy in the face. Like, NASCAR put it up big. Here's a photo of him punching him in the face. But then you might suspend him. You might punish him. You can't have it both ways. I mean, if you're going to be consistent enough to say, hey, let's create some content and then suspend him, like stay on the same wavelength. Pick one. Are you going to embrace the fighting? Is that what you want to be known? I feel like every now and then we get a big old NASCAR brawl. Or are you going to be, you know, oh, we need to keep things on the up and up. No fighting. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Josh is here from Philly. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Josh?
Hey, JR. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I was calling about the NASCAR. I actually called you a while back about NASCAR, and we talked about whether or not it was mainstream. And this isn't really that, but so after that happens and NASCAR promotes that, do you think it's, like, good for NASCAR as a franchise to promote that and, like, be known as that?
I don't think it's being known as that, but it certainly doesn't help its image. Look, ultimately, NASCAR, they got a whole lot more work to do if they want to promote. I don't think something like this is going to drive them off the deep end one way or the other. So it pops. It certainly doesn't do them any good.
When you mention NHL, I feel like NHL maybe, I guess they promote the fighting, but it happens, you know, right, more often in a hockey game, where I've watched a lot of NASCAR over the years, and, you know, there's only probably been a handful of fights I've seen in NASCAR's history.
In NASCAR's history? Well, I don't know how much.
No, not their history. Of the years I've watched. I'd say of all the years I've watched it, maybe like 10, 15 years, you know, I've only seen like a handful of times that it actually got physical.
I feel like we got a fight, and maybe I'm conflating NASCAR with some of the other races, maybe F1. I feel like I see more of them throwing hands than anything else.
The first time this year, this NASCAR
Josh, the point is, there is more of a conversation for everyone to be involved in regarding NASCAR when it's a fight and less about a race. That's the point. And so the problem isn't so much that, oh my God, there's a fight, and how is publicizing the fight going to be damaging to the game or the sport? It's more about how do you spread the sport where fights aren't the thing that most people can relate to. That's the issue.
I also don't know if it's really as much as promoting as, I mean, just it's content. You know, NASCAR can't stop it if it happens.
Josh. Josh, it is promoting it. If I am NASCAR and I have social media accounts and a fight occurs, and NASCAR is showcasing the fight, that's promoting it. Okay? If I saw, I don't know, Draymond Green grabbing Rudy Gobert by the throat in a headlock, I would be surprised to see the NBA account sending out a freeze frame of the choke and putting it on social media.
NBA probably. Okay, NBA's account won't do
it. No, well, that,
the
but
media
that's,
will.
No, but there's a difference between what you own, operate, and control versus what someone else does. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
And there's a massive difference between what you can control versus what you do. And I would say NASCAR has more influence on the messaging that they put out than the media does. You want to know who grants credentials to the media? NASCAR. You want to know who does the television contracts? NASCAR. Come on. NASCAR is in control of their messaging. Hickey, I feel like I need a drink. I got time to get one in the break? Maybe.
Plenty time.
Plenty. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to have a drink and figure out what's promoting or not promoting a fight. Don't move.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.